Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. Today we are, which I prefer normally to do, traveling and on site. I didn't have to travel very far today. We are actually live on site at Mind of the Athlete here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I've actually been here before, prior co-host on episode 21. You might have heard about Dr. Megan Cannon. And she was on, we literally recorded right here in their offices in a different room. We're in a different room today. We're going to figure out how many rooms they actually have here at their facility. But today, we have the honor to bring on the founder of Mind of the Athlete. And also, which we'll be talking a little bit more about today, is also a new author. And I actually have an advanced copy in front of me here, which is pretty exciting. I can't wait to read more about it. But Mind of the Athlete, Clear Mind, Better Performance by PhD Dr. Jared Spencer. Welcome to the show.
I'm honored to be with you.
Hey, thank man, you. This is exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
So I apologize for bringing on your other doctors first and then you.
No worries. No worries. They're great people. Yeah. And I'm excited to have them on our team.
Yeah. So we got connected originally. For a quick rewind for our listeners, I was recording another podcast interview at a Starbucks in Allentown, and I had noticed your logo on a backpack sitting next to us. And I'm like, I've seen that before. But obviously, I was busy recording an interview and a co-hosting session. Shout out to Brian Strausser. And he's one of our big fans. And that's who we were talking to that day and talking a lot about mindset and struggle that he had gone through over his life and how he's redeveloping himself and basically creating a new future. So obviously she got to overhear all this, but Dr. Megan was sitting right across from us working on, I believe was a flyer for an upcoming event with SYR CrossFit in Allentown. And she was there with Aaron, your nutritionist, and they were speaking on, which I went and attended the event. They were speaking on body image for athletes, I believe was the actual topic. So maybe not verbatim. So she got me connected. I came down here to a lunch and learn, got to actually meet you in person that day and a whole bunch of other fellow athletes and gym owners and coaches and everything else. And then since then we had Julie on and now we're bringing you on. So we're working our way through the ranks.
Nice.
But I wanted to kind of dig in a little bit for our listeners. And because again, we're co-hosting. It's not me interviewing you. We're having a conversation. And what made you create Mind of the Athlete? I mean, where'd the branding come from? Obviously, it started with you. So where'd it come from?
It started with me, but it was bigger than me. To be completely honest about it, it was kind of a deeply spiritual experience, felt called by God to really create a sports psychology company committed to improving the emotional health of athletes. And it was not something I was wanting to do completely, but I felt really called to do. And so I can't really take credit for how all this came together so quickly and has kind of taken off in this way. It really seems like it's bigger than me. And so truth be told, I spent a lot of time on knees praying about it, talking to God, listening to God, and finding out, okay, what am I supposed to do here? So this is a mission, but it's also a ministry for me to really kind of really serve people, love people, help people in a very deep, intimate way when we talk about our feelings about life, and particularly for our clientele sports.
Well, it's kind of funny, I mean, as a guy, since we're two guys talking here, I'll be the first one to admit, a lot of us men have an issue with opening up and showing the vulnerability and dropping the walls. So even though obviously the title and your brand involves athlete, this isn't just about athletes. It isn't just about athletics. Obviously that's part of your niche, but maybe you could speak to more of why we have such an issue with that. But as a guy, I know in the past few years, I've had to do a lot of self-work and self-discovery to help myself step up, you know, as a bigger and a better man, you know, to really realize through maturity, it's like, hey, man, you're not living to the fullest. We need to drop those walls and show some vulnerability. And there's a lot of self-help gurus out there who talk about that. But since you actually have some, you know, some education behind that, I don't know, maybe you could speak to that a little bit better.
Well, really what we're redefining is the word toughness. And so if you look at it from a guy's perspective in particular, as we are now, we're redefining what does it really mean to be tough. And we were sold images that toughness was this high machismo, don't express pain, don't whine, don't complain, don't cry. But that's actually not really what toughness is. And so toughness is really about being vulnerable and about being able to express your feelings verbally and be honest with yourself and others. It's about good self-care. And so all of this really matters when we talk about our young people today, because we've got to put more tools in their toolbox to manage their emotional mental health. And so this is coming from a guy that, you know, was a football player in college, wrestler in college, rugby player. And
All right. I got a few rugby buddies.
So all through that world of this is how we understood toughness. And having gone,
if anybody's ever seen rugby, you would really get used to seeing that physical representation of toughness.
And I love it. And that's me. That was me. And so I resonate with that. But the point is simply this. We have to have more tools in the toolbox beyond just suck it up when it comes with how we manage negative feelings, emotions.
Okay. So that's a huge topic. So I guess, is there one or two things that you see as common? Because you guys work with a lot of local universities around here. And what I learned from my meeting with Dr. Julie a week or so ago and on her prior episode, you guys also go pretty far too. I mean, you guys support Berkeley out in California as well.
Sure.
And so is there a common thread that you're seeing? Is there, I know there's so many layers, but is there something at the highest level? Is there two or three common things that you're seeing at the collegiate athlete level? Because I really feel that once you reach the collegiate athlete level, hopefully some of the coaches over the years have developed you a little bit, not just physically, but also mentally. But obviously I'm sure you guys have seen a far spectrum on how you would define that.
Well, the biggest commonality that we're seeing among college athletes is that they are incredibly tired. They're emotionally overwhelmed. They're overscheduled, overextended. And on average, the college athlete is sleeping 6 hours a night.
Which everybody brags because it's like, oh man, I only need 4 to 6 hours because I'm a peak performer.
And they are struggling. They want more sleep. And these kids actually are doing the right things. They just have so much schoolwork and sports are so overwhelming that they just can't get the recommended, you know, 9.2 hours of sleep that they need for great optimal performance.
Oh, a quick pause. 9.2. Yeah. That's a new number for me.
8.5, 9.2 is what we see for adolescents.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of a standard number we see for our adolescents. And so
when you define adolescence, you're saying into your mid 20s?
You know, we say like, you know, like 18 and under, I guess, would be more adolescence. But for our 19, 20 year old college athletes, yeah, sure, they're still in that that ballpark.
Still a period of development happening.
Yeah. And that's for an average student. When I think about a scholar athlete, you know, they're not average. They are putting their bodies through incredible training. So I actually think they need a little bit more rest and recovery. So that 9.2 number is one that I really put out there to our student athletes. But here's the point. They're nowhere near that.
No.
And so if sleep is the number one factor in emotional health, if you do not have good sleep, you're not well rested, you're going to see a spike in anxiety, depression, frustration, and that's what they're experiencing.
The fuse is a little shorter, so to speak.
Always.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure you're not just seeing this at the collegiate level. We can go across because I know, obviously, from working, talking with Megan and Julie, you guys aren't just dealing with college athletes. You guys have a corporate program. You work with businesses as well. So kind of going to the big umbrella of mind of the athlete, again, from a branding perspective, you guys are very niche towards this, the sports and athletics. But something I brought up in one of the prior episodes is that I used to do a lot of hiring when I was in the corporate world. And I notice a difference when I'm interviewing somebody who has an athletic background and somebody who's not. It's, they truly perform at a different level. So I'm sure you see this, and you guys probably have a way to connect this over from the sports world into the business world and vice versa, correct?
Yes. For example, in 2016, I spent the year working at a company called Kelly in Sparks, Maryland. Okay. Kelly is an insurance payroll company that brought me in 3 days each month to roll out our Mind of the Leader training.
Okay.
So one of the brands we have is Mind of the Leader, where we'll go into businesses and share essentially the exact same content. It's just packaged for the business clientele.
You're just rebranding it.
Right. Okay. And we'll use a lot more data, statistics, studies that are coming out of the corporate world. Why would Kelly be interested? Well, the founder of Kelly and his four sons who now lead Kelly, they are incredible athletes. In fact, they were just recognized in the Baltimore community as one of the top families in sports. And so
Oh, wow.
when you're done playing sports, where do you go?
Yeah.
Well, you go into business, you lead your companies, and those kind of companies in particular have been bringing me in to serve them because they believe in the messaging and the mindset that helps an athlete thrive is really the same thing we've got to apply in the corporate world as well.
Well, it's interesting because it's not just been the co-hosted episodes with your other doctors that are on your team here, but other co-hosts we've had on the show. Mindset, the word mindset's come up a lot. And it's something that I'm a big, big fan of, that all my self-work over the years that I continue to do, I truly believe that we should always be continuing doing self-work, self-help, development, whatever you may be. And there is times when you can't do everything by yourself. You need to go to the professionals. Maybe look at it, getting a business coach or a health coach, whatever it may be. But the common thread that I found is that people's mindsets are one of the biggest things that have to get redeveloped. And that's what I'm hearing from you right now. So it sounds like we're on the same page, that you're seeing this from the collegiate level. You're seeing it in the business world. Obviously, you've rebranded it to the mind of the leader. Is there anything else you've tapped into with that besides obviously the leader segment versus the athlete segment?
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. Last week I did a mind of the parent session.
Oh, okay.
At a school where I'd also rolled out the mind of the teacher as well. Mind of the coach. And so just off the top of my head, those are a few that I've done in the last month. Mind of the teacher, mind of the coach, mind of the parent.
You're kind of, leader. All right. Old motivational author, self-development guru, Jack Canfield. Chicken soup of the soul.
That's the model I'm basing it off of.
I'm making that connection in my head right now. Yeah. I'm like, he wrote Chicken Soup of the Soul, and now how many editions and versions of that does he have? It's crazy.
Right.
So, I mean, this new book you have, it's called Mind of the Athlete, but to be fair, even though you're saying it's the same, it's not necessarily the same. You've repackaged the content and the knowledge to fit the demographic and the audience you're talking to. But who's to say you can't, once this comes out, repurpose this content to Mind of the Parent, Mind of the Teacher, Mind of the Leader going forward and have a whole volume of books.
We're already working with the government on registered trademarks for it.
All right. I love this.
We're ahead of it.
See, this is why I include business in our topic of the whole fuel your health business and lifestyle, because they're all intertwined. I mean, it's, you guys were just lucky enough to find a niche and a mission, as you're talking about, that just seems to click and people really like. I mean, how long ago did you get this going?
Mind of the Athlete took off as a company 4 years ago.
Okay.
Prior to that, I still had Mind of the Leader, Mind of the Athlete, and With All Your Mind Ministry.
Okay.
And so that was the origin of this. And that was maybe going back 7 years ago when that came to be.
I love hearing the origins because, like, yeah, business, that's not always the beginning when the business was founded. It was like, okay, where did it all come from before? So yeah. Now the ministry piece, mm-hmm. You're obviously a very faithful man.
Yeah.
Tying your personal win with your business life. Some people agree and disagree with doing that, but it sounds like this makes perfect sense, obviously, because we're talking about a healthy lifestyle and a healthy mindset. So,
yeah, one guy who really inspired me is a couple of years ago, I was down on assignment. I was working with this company called Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a guy named Truett Cathy who founded it. A wonderful old man.
I heard about that guy.
Yeah. Recently passed away. Just an incredible person. And I was up in his office and we were having a meeting and he loaded me up with all these books and resources and so kind. And he said something to me in this deep Southern accent. He said, "Jared, I see no conflict between good business principles and good biblical principles. I did it and you can do it too."
Okay. I could just imagine him sitting there doing that right now. Sounds like a funny man.
He was. Great man.
So he, obviously he was an influence on you then.
He was.
Would you consider that conversation... He wasn't one of your mentors per se, but do you think that was kind of almost a mentor-related influence in where things went after that?
Yeah, like any origin of a business, there's a lot of people that influence you in different ways. So, for example, the very start of it all was because of a mentor named Larry Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anybody who's local to our area out here, if you ever heard of Easton, Pennsylvania, you know who Larry Holmes is. And then for the listeners who don't, just look it up. He's a famous boxer. Very famous.
Yeah. Longest reigning heavyweight champion of the world.
Yes.
And Ali took Holmes under his wing and taught him a lot. And truth be told, when I moved to the Lehigh Valley, I really didn't have a lot of funding to kind of go on my own and start up my own little private practice in psychology. So I spotted Larry's building and he had some space there. And so I met with him. He said, "All right, you know, I'll put you across the hall from me." And he gave me very affordable rent. And then we started to get to know each other. He said, "You know, you need to be on TV. We should do a TV show." So we created a TV show together.
Okay.
And we did a TV show here in Lehigh Valley for a year.
Yeah.
It was called What the Heck Were They Thinking?
Wait a minute. I know that.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
I guess 8 years ago is when it first started.
Yep. I know that name. That's crazy.
All yeah.
Right. I don't watch a lot of television, but I know that tagline.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So we actually created that together, and then Larry just poured into me for a couple of years while I stayed in his office space and really taught me a lot about how to treat people and about
He's
relationships.
He's a family man, that's for sure.
He is. And Ali was a huge influence in his life, and so I learned a lot from Holmes about what Ali said. So in the early part of creating a sports psychology company, it was very helpful to have one of my other mentors kind of teach me about athletics and the stories behind the stories behind the stories of what really goes down in the lives of professional athletes, for example.
I'm sure he had a crazy amount of stories.
Powerful mentor in my life.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I had no idea. I mean, I knew there was some type of connection there because I'd done my own research in the background, but I didn't know it was at that level. So really, he wasn't just obviously a positive mentor from a professional mentor, but he literally really helped you just get going.
Yes, he did. I'm indebted to him.
Yeah. And so not to stay on him for a second, but I mean, this guy's been around a long time. I mean, he's a positive influence here in the Lehigh Valley, and he's always trying to do something big down in the Eastern area. So now, obviously, do you still do connected work with him?
Stopped by and visited off his office about a month ago. So I'm always kind of staying in touch.
Okay, cool. So what is one of the biggest takeaways that you could say from a Larry Holmes perspective that, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot, but what's one of the biggest things you took away from him besides the whole family piece of it and that level?
It's how we treat people. It's very important to be nice to people. And Larry was that guy who taught me that no matter where you go, you know, really engage people and be kind to people. And it doesn't matter who you are or how famous you get. It's really about staying humble and staying connected. And I think he's done a really nice job of that. In fact, one of my favorite quotes by Larry is Sports Illustrated interviewed him. They said, "Larry, you've made millions and millions of dollars in your lifetime. Why don't you live in New York City with all the other famous people?" And he said, "Well, if I lived in New York City, I'd have to keep up with the Joneses. But if I stay here in the Lehigh Valley, people have to keep up with the Holmeses."
Oh, man. We're getting that into the show notes. So that's good. I like that one. Wow. I'm going to remember that one. That one's easy to remember, too. I like that.
See, Ali taught him wit, and Holmes actually has that really well, too.
Oh, anybody knows anything about Ali, he definitely had the wit. His little quotes and little whips that he threw out there, man, they were always good. Famous, honestly. So that's pretty good. Man, you got that one stuck in my head. I love that stuff. I'm a big history guy, so anytime you can tie history with progress, even at a personal level, I think that's huge. I mean, Larry's got a great story to tell. Ali had a great story to tell. So these are important things that we can't forget and other people need to learn from. But I think for our listeners and for me and you, what you're coming across here with is that power of community or that power of who you're surrounding yourself with. Clearly, you were struggling, not necessarily financially, but you wanted to be in a smart place when you got going, didn't want to pay a lot in rent, but you chose to go and put yourself in a place that you were surrounding yourself with a professional athlete. Clearly, he had stories to tell, so you knew this. This was part of your decision-making process.
Yeah.
So, because I tell people about this all the time. There's a famous quote from Jim Rohn, "You're the product of the five people you spend the most time with, or the sum of it," or whatever his exact words are. But the point is, if you're not happy with what's going on in your life, your athletics, your job, are you, for example, your job, are you hanging around the water cooler, so to speak, with all the drama queens and the drama guys, for example, that are out there? A lot of people do this. So now you're surrounding yourself with negativity. Why not make a choice to say, no, stop doing that. Go surround yourself with a positive influence. And clearly, to get your business going, that was one of the biggest decisions that really helped you go.
Larry was really instrumental in the start.
Yeah.
And I like what you said, we have to surround ourselves with positive people. And so one of the keys to my personal health and well-being, as well as the business, is I'm in two small groups now with other business leaders. Mm-hmm. Well, one with business leaders and one with more sports-minded folk.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You got to have two sides of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the one small group that I meet with, so every Tuesday night I go to my friend's house. His name is Matt Millen. He played a little football in the NFL. And there's five of us get together and We talk about life. We talk about God. We talk about anything and everything out there.
Wait, he's local?
He is.
Okay. So quick for the listeners, because you can't see what I'm seeing on the book laying in front of me here, because I have an advanced copy that he gave me when I walked in today. But in the bottom right-hand corner on the cover, it says, forward by Matt Millen, four-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
So yeah. I had no idea he lived here in the area.
Yeah. And I've got the good fortune of being mentored by Matt now as well. So that's
You're a powerhouse, man. You're picking the right people. You're a smart man.
Well, I just think that God's kind of brought my paths to some really great people for me to learn from. And I think it's been very helpful for me to, if I really want to help kids, if I really want to help people, young adults, then it's really great to learn from the people that have gone ahead of me from this area that have seen the mountaintop and have seen the valleys. And the more I can sit at their feet and learn from them and hear their stories, then it just really helps me to take that kind of knowledge and wisdom and pass it along to the young people.
Well, it's interesting because before I left the bigger business world, I spent some time with a small company called T-Mobile. And they used to have a huge presence here in the Valley, one of the call centers. So, and back in the day, I don't know how long you've been. How long have you been in the Valley?
Been back in the Valley for 15 years.
Okay, so if you remember far enough back, there was companies before T-Mobile. There was a company on the West Coast called VoiceStream Wireless, formerly called Western Wireless. On the East Coast, was a company called OmniPoint here in the Lehigh Valley. They all became eventually VoiceStream, owned by a company out of Germany. The point of the story, though, is that there was progression, right? As a company, small companies get gobbled up, become a part of a bigger thing, bigger thing, bigger thing, and people get lost along the way. Maybe their influence circles change. People get promoted. People move on. But the one thing I learned about that industry was in the call center world, there's a lot of young people coming out of college. Some people may have taken time off from college. They're looking for, you know, a reliable job. And I think T-Mobile, for the most part, until they left the Lehigh Valley and closed that call center, affected a lot of old people that used to work for me and work with me. And I was living out west when that happened, so I was just seeing all that happening. You're talking about 400, 500, 600 people just being displaced. So I was very unfortunate. But up until that point, I had been in management with them and then became an analyst. And they got rid of our managerial titles. And they sent us down to Nashville, Tennessee. And they said, all right, you're here to be trained and become coaches. So for the next like week or two, we were basically completely overhauled from a mindset, from a training aspect, to try and get management to wrap their heads around that it's more than just the numbers. You have to coach to the number or to the behavior behind the number. So we got into a lot of behavioral analysis, behavioral development, instead of focusing on, okay, I need that performance number, but what does that employee want? Are you career pathing them? Are you helping them meet their goals? And I would say professionally, that was probably one of the biggest changing of mindset when I was in a professional type of role. I give them kudos as a company to invest that kind of time and a lot of money in overhauling all of the management to start wrapping their heads around that type of stuff. And there was definitely a few PhDs involved in the training process, I'll say, down there when we were down there. So I don't know if you've done stuff at that level, but it's pretty crazy. Once you start getting people to start think differently, it was amazing. I don't know what kind of feedback you've gotten from your Mind of the Leader events, but I'm expecting you're probably doing some of the same stuff with some of these companies.
Yeah, it is the same stuff.
Okay.
And it's really helping people understand how the mind works best.
Yeah. And the biggest thing I find for the younger mindset is that, are you seeing this right now? You got to be able to see this. Please confirm this for me. I hope I'm right. The whole millennial thing is crazy. There's companies like still trying to, they're hiring all these professional analysts and consultants to come in and teach them how to, you know, lead millennials better in the job going forward. And the biggest thing I'm finding is like, they're just not listening. I don't know if you're seeing that from a consulting aspect to other businesses, but it seems like they're missing the boat with this new millennial mindset. I don't know.
Well, what we know about millennials is what they're looking for the most is a mentor.
Uh-huh.
But they spot when people are true and when they're not.
And when you're fake.
Yeah. they're really looking for a good mentor.
Yeah. I've noticed that.
Yeah. So if somebody's just kind of giving them wisdom, but they're not really in it, they're not really going to believe it.
Well, and we've seen that over the years, even when we're not in business, like sports.
Right.
I can think back years ago when I had a baseball coach, and I knew that guy was fake. I don't know, man. I think he was just kind of going through the motions, and I think he had lost the passion for coaching baseball. And it just wasn't there. And I lost interest very, very quickly. And then I ended up getting into karate after that. And that I loved because my senseis were very dialed in. It was like a whole different world for me. But it was a shame because I did it for like 2-3 years as a young kid. And I was looking, I think I was looking for that mentorship and that coaching. But you can tell real fast if people care or they don't care.
Well, young people, yeah, they spot it.
Yeah.
Because they're inundated with such volumes, heavy volumes of information that they've gotten really good at sifting through all of that and finding out what's real, what's valuable, and what's not.
Well, how are you getting through to these coaches and helping them realizing that without literally coming right out and telling them? I mean, I'm guessing there's some type of process.
Well, it's a lot easier to get directly to the athlete because to get through to the athlete rather, because they sense that the nature of who we are, our staff at Mind of the Athlete, that we're authentic.
Okay.
And they're looking for that kind of meaningful relationship. But when it comes to the coaches, that's a wider spectrum of individuals, typically from 22 to 72. And so some of those coaches get it and they receive our messages and it's great to work with them. Others still think that what we're doing is just contributing to the athlete being quote unquote soft. And so there's resistance.
There's some
there.
Old school mindset right there.
Right. So generally what we find when it comes to coaches, it's the theory of a third. A third of the coaches love what we do. A third of the coaches are pretty open to it. And a third of the coaches think, this is just not helpful.
Well, and from a business perspective, and I teach that to some of my coaching clients, is like control what you can control. And it sounds like you guys have already figured out this whole third equation thing. It's like, all right, well, obviously I'm going to focus on those other two thirds. That other third, until they're ready to change, you can't, you're going to spin your wheels, I think, for a while trying to help them. Is that what you say is true? You guys are trying to focus on those other two thirds, the ones that are at least somewhat willing to listen and the ones that are definitely able to listen?
Absolutely.
Okay. So is there an attack plan at all on that other third right now? Or like, you know what, until they're ready, there's not much I can really do for them.
Yeah. When the student's ready, the teacher will appear.
Okay.
So we'll just wait.
I like that. Very philosophical. Yeah. I like that. This is crazy because when I walked in here today, I had no idea that in January, early this year, the NCAA put a huge mandate forward to really, which is perfect for somebody like you and what your organization's doing, to change and require teams to start doing and working with organizations like you or with this type of process. Like, what? How did that all come about?
Dr. Brian Hanline, the chief medical officer for the NCAA, is an outstanding man. And he came forth and shared that when he was a college athlete, he had struggled with some depression. And now that concussions has been the main focus and had been getting all the attention, resources, what we've found through concussions is that a lot of players struggle with anxiety, depression, adjustment in their identity after their career is over. And he really resonated with that. He also saw the need out there and has championed the cause of how we are going to address mental health in our society. And he said the NCAA will be a pioneer for showing others that we value and are concerned for young people's mental health, and we need to do more. And so what that actually looks like is still to be determined right now.
He's this is still very new, right?
Yeah, he's got some guidelines out there, but there's support and there is encouragement and now there's hope.
Well, the interesting thing for me is, and Megan was actually walking by because she had to go take care of a client. I think she hinted that this is actually great positioning for you guys because you're already leading in this sector. But obviously a lot of institutions have the right and ability to decide, okay, maybe I'll hire somebody from within or pull from my own internal, maybe psychology programs. I don't know. Is that, are you starting to see some of those balls in motion, for example? Are organizations actually jumping right on board with this, or is it very slow? What are you seeing with the industry?
Well, like any industry, it follows the money.
Okay.
So those that have the big resources are ahead of the curve now, and they've got maybe a director of clinical and sports psychology at the university, and they're doing some internal work. But despite everyone's best efforts, there's a need out there that's far greater than any of us can meet.
Right.
So
we're seeing that outside of that world. I mean, we're looking at just mental health in general in this country.
Right.
We are completely overwhelmed because we don't have enough talent out there to address all these issues.
Yeah.
So That's crazy. So from an athletic standpoint, at least you guys are in place to start making an impact.
We are, but the sad reality is that it's still services with when it comes to mental health are more readily available for the affluent. Mm. And so part of what I think about is, well, how do we get content and resources out there for somebody who maybe can't afford those resources?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say you've already started doing a great job because I've already tapped into, I like to call YouTube University. A lot of other people call it that these days. And you guys have a very, very strong YouTube channel. I don't even know how many videos you have up there right now.
Yeah, well, we're over 500.
Okay, you are over 500. Wow, yeah. That's crushing it.
Yeah.
And again, they can just find you at Mind of the Athlete for that too.
Sure.
Because I know Twitter is just Mind of Athlete because I know you have a character limit. But for most part, your branding is usually people are tracking it down Mind of the Athlete.
That's correct.
And they're going to find it. And again, guys, you can just go to the .com. This will all be in the show notes too. So we always, every single one co-host, I make sure everybody can find you when they go to the website because some people are focusing on listening and not actually writing it down. So with that, are you basically always going to be building that out? That library is never shrinking. Is that one of your primary kind of, you're referring to content and generating content. That's your primary platform right now?
Well, it's one of the primary platforms right now.
Okay.
Because video is the language of the audience that we serve.
True.
So we need to make sure that we are providing the information to them in a manner that they're going to access. So, for example, they might not go see a psychologist regarding performance anxiety, but they might go YouTube a video looking for how to manage performance anxiety.
Well, it's crazy because I've read articles and listened about this now, it's terrible to even talk about this, but it's true. It's like there's athletes and regular people who just say, you know what? I'm going to YouTube how to kill myself. I know that's a very harsh thing to say, but this is reality, and this is happening. There's athletes that stressed out, that into depression, as you were hinting out. So if it's that easy to track down, unfortunately, I think that content does exist. That's even scarier. But if it's that easy to track down that stuff, it's even more important that we make it easy for them to track down content that you guys are generating because they need to find a way to help battle that and get over that.
That's why it's our mission and ministry.
Yeah.
And it's what makes me stay awake at night thinking about how do we deliver this information to as many people as we possibly can so that we can help students. In fact, I received a phone call 2 years ago from a mom who said to me, I just want to thank you. She said, my son came downstairs with tears in his eyes. And he said to me, Mom, I was thinking about suicide. And I was on YouTube and I found this video from Mind of the Athlete, and it changed me. And now I just want you to know I'm not going to do that, but I want to get some help.
You just gave me like chills all the way down. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's first of all, great phone call to receive. I mean, that you actually got through to somebody and it resulted in positive change.
Yeah.
So kudos to that. That's powerful. And he did eventually get help.
He did.
Okay. With you guys or just somebody
else?
He
did.
Awesome. How's he doing?
I'm assuming he's on a different trajectory in life now.
Okay. Obviously, that's a couple years ago. So.
Sure.
Yeah. That's powerful, man. Wow. And I know, I'm sure there's probably like client confidentiality and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
HIPAA laws prevent us.
Gotta watch out for that HIPAA stuff.
Yeah.
But that's right there, just prove that all the hard work you guys have been doing, building a video library. I tell people all the time with marketing, I'm like, guys, start putting content out there. It might not be perfect. It may not be great. I'm sure if you went back to one of your first like five videos compared to what you guys are creating now, it's kind of funny.
It is funny.
There's probably a drastic shift in just experience, conversation skills, and obviously editing. Now, you guys do all in-house?
We do.
Okay. Wow. All self-done. So
yeah.
Is that... Now, obviously, I know I follow Twitter now and everything else for you guys, so thanks to Megan. I got all connected with everything. And I know with your book, you already said you actually are releasing this in a digital version too, like CDs, so people can actually, if they don't like to read,
right,
they can lick and listen.
Yes.
And then you and I were talking about eventually maybe doing an audio book and stuff like that as well. So
the audio book's done.
Oh, it is actually done.
Yeah, okay. E-book's done, audio book's done. Hardback, paperback.
So we're just waiting for that legal stuff to get done.
Oh, no. So, The book's done. We're just waiting on a few more editing versions of it. But people can buy it now on Amazon.
In fact, oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah. The other day, we sold 25 books in a day.
Perfect.
People are finding out about this. In fact, the book was nominated for Book of the Year by the Changing the Game Project out in Bend, Oregon.
I know Bend. I've been there.
Yeah. They've selected a few books for athletes, coaches, and parents that they thought were the books of the year, and this was one of them. So
wait, and how long has it been out?
Yeah, it's just about 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah, but
that's
sent an advance. They had an advanced copy of it, and they liked it so much. So we really haven't started a big marketing push out of the book.
That sounds like it's all word of mouth right now.
Yes.
Okay.
But quickly, we're seeing that people are resonating with it. So this week, we sent packages Australia, a couple to Canada,
that's
and all around the United States.
Wow. Well, and I can tell you, I've had a few authors on, and we've talked behind the scenes, and they said, if you come out with a book that resonates to groups, they actually tell you, this is a little marketing thing for you guys, is that find a way to get it up on your website. So you can still sell them on Amazon and everything else, but they actually say, put together bundles. Like a little incentive, like, hey, man, if I buy 25 books, do I get a better rate type of thing? And they've seen their sales skyrocket because you're giving them just a little bit of a discount. But now it's an incentive for them to say, you know what? And instead of just buying like three or four, I'm going to get one for my whole team. Like, yeah. I'm going to get one for my entire office,
yeah,
whatever it may be. And now everybody's getting on the same page.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's huge, man. That's cool.
Yeah, it's very important. We've, in fact, this winter break, the Lehigh lacrosse men's team is reading the book.
Right here at Lehigh University.
Yep. Right. Yep. And other teams like Princeton Wrestling is reading the book.
Okay.
And so there are a number of programs that are out there that have got the book and they're going to be working on it.
So have you started any speaking on this yet? Like going out and actually talking to groups that have already read the book or maybe they are currently about to go into the book? Is there any type of connectivity being done on that?
Well, no, because we're kind of on the front end of just getting it out there. Okay. And so
one thing at a time.
Yeah. Once they start reading it, then we'll circle back and we'll work with those people that have been reading it.
That would be powerful. To maybe nowadays you got Facebook Live and all this other stuff, but even if it's just YouTube, going in and having a camera set up in like an auditorium and having all of that whole team just sit there and do a Q&A session with you or just giving them their feedback or what they learn. If I was in your shoes, I feel like if I was on stage and hearing nothing but positive feedback or constructive feedback that creates just great conversation, man, that's going to be a great experience.
Yeah, lots of opportunities out there to see what happens with the book, but we'll just have to wait and see what God has in store for it. But I think it's going to be big.
This is huge. I like this. So, by the way, on a quick side note, back to your earlier point in the conversation, is the ministry piece still going?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, that brand is still there. That organization is still out there.
Well, sure. So for me personally, when I serve a client, if they're open to it and they would like a Christian sports psychology perspective, it's my pleasure to bring that.
Okay.
I'm personally heavily connected with an organization called Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Okay.
In fact, we just sent the audio book to their headquarters.
Wow.
They contacted us today and said we would like to have the audio book. One of their state directors had introduced it to them, and they seemed to be very interested. So that piece about the body connected to the mind is what we're all about at Mind of the Athlete.
Oh, yeah.
But then there is another level. And for those that would want to go to that deeper spiritual level, that's the path that I like to bring in when appropriate.
Wow. That's very deep.
Yeah.
And obviously, due to the size and history of Christianity, I'm sure that organization is not a small organization. So this is exciting for you then, I guess.
It's huge.
Yeah. I personally don't, I'm not familiar with how big they are, but I'm sure they're a pretty good size organization.
Yeah.
So this is a big move for you guys.
Well, it is, and so really excited about it.
Yeah.
And so again, like, you know, for the public high school, you know, that's not something we bring to the table because it's not appropriate given the context. So that doesn't have to be a piece. But for those schools, like the Catholic school down the road, Bethlehem Catholic, I'll be speaking there tomorrow.
Oh, exciting.
To one of their teams.
Yeah.
And in that context, the coach for the team said, absolutely, please mention the word God, prayer, blessings, Bible. It's okay here. And so when appropriate.
They are a Christian school. So.
You got it. So when appropriate, we can bring it in.
Very cool. Well, and I think that's normal nowadays. I mean, the fact that you guys are willing to play on, I don't want to say both sides of the fence, but hey, some people are open to it, some people are not.
Right.
In the end, you're still helping everyone.
Right.
That's all that matters.
Correct.
And the fact that you've put out what most organizations are still trying to figure out, you've put out multiple platforms of tools. You've got YouTube. You're on Twitter. You guys are on Instagram. I'm a big fan. You've got the book now. You've got it in digital. You've got it in ebook. You got the auditory. So the audible one's just the only one we're waiting on, really, because technically you said we can get this book at Amazon right now.
Yes.
So I'll be looking for that link, and I'll put that into our show notes so people can easily click and go buy.
Yes. Yeah, well said.
Yeah, because that's the advantage of Amazon. Nowadays, everybody's buying everything on there anyway. So guys, if you're listening, please search for Mind of the Athlete on Amazon, or just go to livethefuel.com, go to this episode, and you will actually easily find a link. You click on it, and you can go check out the book. So, so for your benefit, what is it? And we've talked a lot about messaging today, but for our co-hosts, I want to make sure that you guys own the final word of the episode. So I'm just providing you a platform. So how would you like to close out your episode? What would you like to leave as a final message to our audience so they can understand you more, maybe Mind of the Athlete more, or just the message that you're trying to leave behind, your legacy, so to speak, maybe? What is some kind of messaging that you'd like to have them remember about you today?
That there's help. And that there's hope out there. And that even though we live in a society that's very busy and we don't often have time to have meaningful, deep, real conversation with each other about what's really going on in our preconscious minds, that the truth is that there are people out there like us that love to come alongside people and really engage them on how a person is really doing. And we've got the skills, we've got the resources, we've got the platform, we've got the people, we've got the brand, we've got the bandwidth to serve individuals and teams and companies so that they can, number one, feel better. Because when you feel better, you think better, and then you perform better. And we love to see individuals and teams thrive. That's the rewarding part about what we do. And so there's nothing greater than when we see somebody maximize their full potential because we help them get unstuck because of some type of emotional block. So that's our passion. That's our excitement. That's why we exist. And I would want anybody out there that is listening to know that there is help and there is hope and there's a path ahead that we can take you on.
Well said, sir. Man. All right, guys. That's Dr. Jared Spencer. So again, if you're looking to get unstuck, get help, get hope, reach out to somebody. Reach out to Mind of the Athlete. Go to mindoftheathlete.com. Go to the YouTube channel. Heck, go to the book on Amazon. You got plenty of ways to get help. Just at least take that step. Don't sit there and wallow in self-misery or think you don't have guidance or help out there. He just told you how it is. Okay, guys? That's another Live the Fuel episode. So again, we're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. Again, please check out mindoftheathlete.com. Change your life, change your future, make it happen. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Keep living the fired up epic life. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.